and welcome to Figuring It Out, the podcast for millennial women starting online businesses, blogs, and podcasts they love. I'm Melissa Guller, founder of The Kindling, and each week I interview another amazing woman to learn more about her story, her challenges, and her best actionable tips to help you find your spark. So welcome to the show, you guys. This week, I'm excited to introduce our guest, Andy Fornes. Andy Fornes is an online dating coach who helps women ditch their love sabotaging pattern so they can successfully use online dating to finally find the perfect guy. In addition to private coaching, group coaching, and her thriving Facebook group, Fulfilled Chicas in Love and Business, she hosts a monthly love column called Dear Andy, hosted on her website, where readers write in anonymous letters asking Andy for spiritual, psychology-based relationship advice. So Andy, welcome. I'm so excited to have you.
Thank you so much. Me too.
So to kick things off, can you tell us more about how did you come up with this idea for your business?
Well, that's such a great... So I've been a teacher for, I don't know, since 1995. I can't even do the math. So I went from public school teaching and working with dyslexic students and really understanding like how to retrain the mind and the neural pathways to being a yoga teacher, to being a union spiritual psychology life coach, to being a relationship coach, to being a love coach. And then I had a breakup myself back, I guess, 3 years ago. And I had to go online dating. And I'm like, oh my God, this is like a hellhole. And I realized that it was a perfect place for me to do what I love to do, and that's like fix problems.
That's awesome. So you had the problem yourself, and then you, I assume, found some way to solve it?
Yeah, right. Because I realized once I got into it that half of online dating, the problem is people don't understand online marketing and how the online world works. And if you don't understand that like, just something simple, like you have 7 seconds to get somebody's attention, right? It's not like meeting somebody like at a party or, you know, a group or something and you get that vibe. Like the online world is challenging for us as entrepreneurs and as, you know, daters. So that's half the problem. It's people don't understand that internet marketing and online marketing is involved. And then the second piece is your internal, like whatever it is your internal stuff is, if you will, gets in the way. You're afraid of being too pushy or too direct or whatever it is. And so it was just a great place to put my marketing background and my, you know, psychology background all in like one little package to help people find love and connect. There's too many misconnections.
Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting that you mentioned that the online dating is so similar to marketing, because I don't know if many people have thought of it that way, but you really are just marketing yourself in the hopes of finding something.
Right. And it's what I've had to learn as an online entrepreneur as well, is we are honestly just a face, you know, until we can like get... Even you can be the most amazing person in the world, but you are literally just a face in a sea of 200, you know, coaches or whatever your specialty is, until you get some sort of like personal touch on that person. And then it becomes easier to connect with you. Mm-hmm. And we have to just remember that.
Yeah, that's great advice. Now, I'm not as familiar with the online dating space, but I do know that so many people are looking for love that I have to imagine that there are related businesses or services that deal with helping people date. So what sets your business apart from others who are helping serve a similar audience?
I love that question, because I believe that you can use online dating to actually help you evolve some bad relationship patterns that maybe have caused, you know, past relationships to fail. I believe in using it actually as personal development, and you will find your guy along the way versus going into it with the big, big goal, you know, first of finding like your soulmate. I know that you will, but I believe that you have some steps that you need to take along the way, and you can do that. And can I give you an example of one?
Yeah, please do.
A lot of my clients that come to me have very either really poor communication, meaning they don't know what they want, or they flip-flop, or they can't say it directly. And so you can work on that, like online dating, like even like at the messaging stage. You know, if you're tired of messaging, endless messaging somebody, you can learn to say, hey, let's get on the phone. You know, and if I'm just saying this out loud, so many people are like, oh my gosh, isn't that pushy? Isn't that being needy? No, it's not. You're actually asking for what you want early in the game to see if like the guy will respond. And so I believe in like, using online dating, like even like I said, at the messaging stage, all the way through the relationship to help you just evolve some poor relationship skills. Not that any of that's your fault. It was just what you were taught or what you were used to, you know, growing up. But my guess is that it's, you just need to like practice and learn some like new skills.
Mm-hmm. Well, before we talk a little bit more about your business and maybe some dating advice you might have for listeners, I know your business has grown a lot since you first had the idea. And a major pain point for a lot of our listeners is how to turn that idea into an actual business. So I'd love to know, how did you find your first customer? And maybe what are some milestones you've hit since then?
Oh, that's great. So the first customers were people that I knew, that I, you know, knew were, this is actually before I was, the first, there were actually people that I knew that lived in my town or maybe had gone to like yoga with me. And they just knew like and trusted me. And so for me to get my very first client online, it was also, I was part of a Jungian coaching association. And so that's like a huge, huge piece of starting out your business is go to like find where people are that you know, because that's going to be your fastest way to like attract people that either know you or join into like some groups where people can get to know you. And then from there, then you can take the next step to, you know, finding people that know you, you know, trying to convert cold traffic. That takes a little bit longer. But some milestones that have really hit for me this year is I've finally been able to charge premium prices. I had to start out, like I tried at the beginning to charge premium prices, but I wasn't confident enough in my craft and my coaching. And that took a little bit of time for me to really realize that I have like tons of value and I'm helping you find love. And I wasn't able to sell, you know, premium prices at the beginning. I had to actually grow into it. And so that's been like a really big milestone. And also getting publicity. I got featured in Forbes this year along with some other big names, but that was really huge for me to be more visible and to put myself out there so that I could get picked up. I like a national, you know, big name magazine.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Did you have any turning point or what got you from the initial pricing that you were charging into the premium pricing?
For me, it's always step by step. I work really well in step by step. And so I had to just, I wasn't getting a lot of traction at the beginning when I was charging premium prices, even though my coach is like, your work's amazing or whatever, you know, and she would say all these things. So we're true. She's like, it's just as easy to sell a 10K package as it is a 3K package. But it wasn't true for me because I wasn't used to it. I came from being a teacher and not a salesperson. And when I say sales, I'm talking more, I wasn't used to even having sales conversations into like how to invite somebody into my program. And so I had to actually just learn how to not be pushy, and I had to learn sales in a way that wasn't pushy and push people off. Mm-hmm. And so it took some time. It took some time for me to actually like own that how to like invite people in and help people make like the best decision for them. So it took a little bit of time. And so it was a step by step. I had to incrementally increase my prices as I got braver and more secure on the value. Mm-hmm. You know, you just kind of have to start feeling like what feels good.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. And I also love a couple of things you said. One about just going step by step. I think it's easy to see businesses that are further along and assume they've always been there. But I think most businesses have kind of incrementally tweaked something here or there or raised their prices just a little bit here and there over time. So I really like that step-by-step advice.
Absolutely. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, my coach has a list of like 20,000 people. At one point, you know, we weren't going to have the same impact. She had a best-selling book out. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm unknown, you know what I mean? And so like, yeah, I think that she forgot mm-hmm. that what it was like to be at the beginning.
Yeah. I also really loved what you suggested about joining groups or going to places where you know that the right kind of customers are, but then finding ways for people to get to know you. So
yeah.
You didn't just say, you know, go somewhere where you can sell people. And I think that's what right. It kind of feels like at times, but I love this advice and this way of reframing it, where your goal is to get people to know you, to like you, to trust you. And then there will come a natural time where it makes sense to say, hey, by the way, did you know I have insert product or service here?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah,
and that's the kind of invitation that I mean for business owners. And it also works with dating. Like, we have to like let someone get to know you. Let yourself get to know someone before you're swiping left and right and, you know, deciding within like your checklist within 1 hour whether or not this person can be your guy. It takes time to get to know somebody.
Mm-hmm. Just like it takes time to grow business.
Exactly. This is why I love my business, because it really just connects.
Yeah, I love this.
It's all me too. It's all like interpersonal, like, this is how we like live. Yeah. So it's
what it all comes down to, right? Is it's all just personal human connections, whether it's about dating or business. So I think this is great and not surprising that the conversation's kind of naturally going between the two, the dating and the business side of what you do.
Right.
All right. Well, we've talked a little bit about your milestones this year, and obviously milestones are wonderful, but we also want to talk about the inevitable challenges that come along with running a business. So what would you say has been the top challenge? I know, right? The top challenge you've faced so far in your online business.
At the beginning was organization, distraction, planning, looking ahead, you know, all of this, all of the nuts and bolts. I'm like the idea person. I'm mm-hmm. the person that can be on podcasts all day long, or, you know, writing all day long, teaching all day long. But when it comes to actually like the organization of it, or the planning, or being able to foresee like a month in advance, absolutely not. Like, that was off. The finances have been hard for me. And I will say, if I could do one thing back again, managing a team. Everyone's like, yeah, hire team members. Okay, guess what? You have to be organized. Mm-hmm. Member, or they're just sitting there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, hey, do you have any work for me? I'm like, oh no, it's all in my head. You know, like, that has been huge for me to realize that I'm running a business. This is just, you know, talking or teaching or doing my thing. And that I've had to like switch between the two hats, and that's, I've had to grow into that role, and I'm still growing into it. I'm managing like 4 people right now, and it's been very challenging. But also, like, I've been putting on my big girl panties, like, okay, yeah, you want to be a businesswoman and make this money, then you need to be a businesswoman. And so that's been like really huge.
Mm-hmm. And I heard you start to say, if you could go back and do one thing differently, so what's that one thing?
Oh, I would hire out people before you think you're ready. And I really would. So there's some things. I feel like a lot of entrepreneurs out in the space right now, they spend a lot of money on training. Like, let's get this training. Let me learn how to make funnels. Let me learn how to, you know, get my SEO. Let me learn how to do publicity. All of that stuff is great. There comes a point where you almost have too much training, and you're spending thousands of dollars on training, when I would learn one thing per year and then use the rest of the money to hire a team member, just so that you can start. So I really, really recommend that people like look ahead. You can hire like a VA or an assistant or a bookkeeper for like a couple $100 a month if you're not billing a lot. Just start learning how to outsource and manage a team, because if you want your business to grow and scale, you're going to have team members, and you don't want to wait. And you can probably save some of that training that you're doing for later. Just master like one thing per year.
Mm-hmm. So for you, what is your current one thing?
It's publicity. I'm in Selena Su's Impact Millions campaign. And that's essentially how I got on this podcast and how I got in Forbes. Forbes didn't just find me. I had to actively like be looking and then apply and getting publicity. It helps spread my message wider, so I have a wider reach. And it also gives me street cred. You know, it positions me as the expert. Then I get to share this podcast with my business group. And they're like, oh, yeah, you know, that's cool, you know? And so so publicity is it for this year. It's awesome.
Yeah, I think that's so smart, too, how you mentioned that you are focusing on one thing. And even earlier, you said you loved being on podcasts, like you could do this all day. So it sounds like you found something to focus on that is of interest to you and that helps your business in a way that maybe bookkeeping was not quite bringing you the same level of joy. And so you've outsourced it.
Exactly. Or putting emails in the email provider. Oh my God, no, this stuff is awful. Or doing a lead page. That's like, it's the worst.
Yeah.
So I outsource it now.
Well, it's a great point because in a business, you can't do everything, but at times it feels like we need to learn how to do everything. But your point is right. Just focus on what you enjoy, what would help your business, and then outsource the rest to people who might actually enjoy it. And in fact, who would probably do a better job.
Exactly. They do. And then it also feels really good too, to be supported, like just from like a yummy, like yoga or whatever human level. Mm-hmm. Like I really mean it. My team is a team and it feels really good versus just me out there being solo entrepreneur. Like we're a team. Like I asked them for advice and they help me I say, what are the best practices? This is what I want to do. How can we make this better? And then they get to come and be, like you said, experts. And it's just awesome. Just love it.
That sounds like a great work environment to be in. And it is mm-hmm. nice to have a team, you know? It gets lonely when you're all on your own and it's only you there to solve all the problems.
Yeah. No, it's so nice. Like I got a new laptop and I can't, for some reason, configure my iCal, and I really want to fly my VA out. She lives in like Connecticut. I'm like, can you please come to Austin? And just she's like, Andy, I can't fix it from here, but here's how you do it. And I'm like, no.
It's too funny.
Like, can you please come and visit? It's so funny.
Yeah. Relying on other people, I think, is always a good option. All right. Well, before we do get into the wrap up, we have one more section where I love to invite guests to teach us something new. So it can be anything about your business or your particular expertise, but what's something that you can share with our listeners?
So what I chose is the reason that people struggle with businesses or, you know, starting your own business or starting with like love relationships, it could be the same, is because people have a really small window, which is all do. I'm raising my hand too. I have a person that overlooks at 3:00 today. She's going to overlook my life and tell me what I can't see. And we have a really small window in which we perceive the world. And for example, when it comes to dating, or maybe even a potential client, you know, we automatically put people in categories. Like, for example, let's say that somebody is late. We like automatically have all of these judgments of somebody that's late. I was late today, right? Because I messed up the time. So we could put tons of judgments on me that like I'm unprofessional, that I'm lazy, all this stuff, that I didn't care about this interview. I really cared about this interview. Oh, wow, this is funny. I'm glad we're talking about me. Like, I really went through all your talking points. I have notes. I had notes, sticky notes all over my house to make sure I was here at the right time, even though I wrote down the wrong time. And it's like we can make lots of judgments about it. And what I just want everyone to hear is it's not really true. Like, just because something happens with a client or with a team member, with somebody that you are dating or in love with, there's more to that person than just that action. And I would love for people to learn how to open that up with curiosity and compassion and just ask, you know, it doesn't mean just to like stuff it down and talk to somebody about something, but actually be curious and stop being so quick to judge people, put them in small categories, because it gives us a lot less choice in the world. Mm-hmm. When we do that.
I think that's so important, especially in a world where a lot of us are working with both in-person and online customers and also team members, I think empathy is more important than ever because you can't always see the other person. You can't see the look on their face. You can't know what they were doing and you don't know what's going on in their life or in their day. So just being considerate and, like you said, not being so quick to judge, I think would make the world a little bit kinder.
Exactly. Can I give examples? So I have a VA, and this has been something that's really helped me in my love life, is by having team members, I've had to learn, when I was talking about my communication, I had to make sure that I was communicating really clear so that they knew what to do. And if I wasn't communicating clear, then guess what? They actually messed things up. And it was like, I realized that having a team member is also another place where I can work on my relationships. It's like, instead of just firing them or saying, oh, they suck or whatever, like, stop, like, be more human, have some compassion, and let's have a conversation about it. Say, hey, it didn't really work out when XYZ, you know, none of those inks fired and shit. You know what I mean? And just how do we build relationships with not only potential clients, but like our team members and our potential dates? Like, let's just build relationships and get to know people and give people a break, but also have boundaries and things.
Mm-hmm. What a nice theme too of just like continuing to build relationships with, like you said, your team members, the people around you, the people you're working with, the people you hope might be customers, but are genuinely trying to get to know first in the meantime. I love that. And
exactly.
Again, that connection with, it's all just about the people and that dating, the similarities just keep coming up, right?
I know.
All right. So what's next for you? What are some of your big goals coming up?
My big goals will be for, I've been just doing private coaching and then I have like a small mastermind, but my big goal is to impact more. And in order to impact more, I need to have a group program and a lower price point because not everyone can do premium prices. And I totally get that. And some people like the idea of like a group, you know, to learn from others. And so I'm launching a group program and the launch starts in December and for January start. And I'm really excited about that. And then 2019, I'm going to be having my own podcast because I love podcasts. And what I haven't really figured out the whole idea behind it, but I want to hear about like stories and how it relates to business somehow. And I haven't fully figured out the idea. I love hearing people's love stories. And then the last thing is I want to have in 2019, I'd like to have like a live event. I used to run yoga retreats and I'd love to have like a live event because I'm a hands-on person. It's actually really hard for me to be at home behind a computer. Like I want to be like sitting on your lap and hugging on you and touching you. And it bugs me like that I get actually to see a bunch of my clients in New York this coming week. And I'm really excited. I need to have like a live event where I can, like I said, just smell you and touch on you. So that's coming to me. So I'm really excited.
Yeah, that sounds really exciting. And while you've been growing this business over the last 3 years, but obviously you have such a wealth of knowledge that came before your current business started, what would you say is the best business advice that you've ever received?
It's kind of what we talked about earlier, just to be more human. Really just simply like, let's be more human in everything. And with clients, with getting potential clients on sales calls, it's not really about the end result, bottom line, the money, even though, sure, this is a business. But if you focus on the impact and the why and human peace, you will get those end results. Mm-hmm. But if you're just focusing on the money, you're actually kind of missing the mark.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. Be a little more human. All right. Mm-hmm. A few more lightning round style. So what is one resource like Asana or Canva or a book that you would recommend to listeners?
I have a million books, but the one that really helped me with was talking about my disorganization was The Profit First. I was just one of those people that just money just came and I just kind of willy-nilly did it. And Profit First actually really helped me organize my business, the finance part of it, because when I was just starting, I didn't know how much to pay myself and I didn't have any money for taxes. And so this book is amazing. It really helps you, gives you like a clear guide of like every on the 10th and on the 25th, like what to do with your money. And that's been huge. And actually, he just came out with a new book. And I can't say his last name. It's like Polish or something. It's like Michael Makalkalik or something like that. Anyways, he came out with a new book about your business. So I really, really encourage you, if you don't have any sort of structure for your finances, to check out Profit First.
That's a great suggestion. And then I know, I think you may have had one more book as well.
Oh, was it I was just looking, by Jay Hendricks, The Big Leap?
The Big Leap.
Yeah, it's such a great book. It's about how we unconsciously have like a glass ceiling on ourselves and how to break the glass ceiling. And I really believe that kind of what I was saying, the step-by-step piece, to know where your glass ceiling is and how we sabotage. It helps you like how you sabotage your moving forward by negative thoughts and worry and fear. And in order to be an entrepreneur, you have to have like very strong mental health. And so aside from books, if you could find some sort of mentor, whether it's a therapist, whether it's an energy healer, whatever works for you, if you could hire a cheerleader, you know, a coach, if you need somebody that's going to help you with your mental health, because your mental blocks, because I will say like the entrepreneurs that win are the ones that can stay in the game. And you've got to have really good mindset to be able to stay in the game, because it does, especially at the beginning, there are definitely some bumps and there are definitely some struggles and it is not predictable at all. And you have to really be able to ride through all that.
Mm-hmm. Well, before we go, I do have just one more question. Who is one businesswoman you admire and why?
I have two. I have Melissa Farr and Selena Stu. And for different reasons, Melissa Farr is a business coach. She's actually, her title's been more. She's all about like wealth and women empowerment. But I love her for her authenticity. She really comes out as the real her. She will cuss. She's really great in terms of balancing sweet and strong. Like she's like a no BS type person, but she's also like super sweet. And will like hold space. I also love Selena Stu. She's teaches people about publicity, but she is a master. And I'm learning so much about from her. Not so much, I guess I'm learning about publicity, but I watched what she has done very well that has helped her business is really create community. She creates like an amazing community of people that support each other. And she supports other businesses and entrepreneurs, and they support her. And it's really this integral, like extended family type scenario that she's running over there. And I find it fascinating and really inspiring.
That's awesome. Well, we just have one more thing, and that's to send us out with a quote. So what's one quote you want to leave our listeners with today?
Well, it's by Eleanor Roosevelt, and it's, "You must do the things you think you cannot do." And this works so well with dating, because whenever I'm working with a client and they say, "Oh, that guy's totally not my guy," I'm like, he probably is. And so usually what we do is in part of this personal development, is I encourage them to open up that statement. Like, why isn't that your guy? You know, just like what I talked about earlier, how do we see things from a bigger window? And so, yeah, if you think you can't do something or you shouldn't be doing something, you probably should. So just kind of pull back and look.
I love that. Well, Andi, thank you so much for joining us this week and sharing so many insights.
It was great. I had such a great time. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining us this week. You can find links to Andi's site and more in the show notes at figuringitoutpodcast.com. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode with Andi Fornes, online dating coach. I'm Melissa Guller, and you've been listening to Figuring It Out. See you next week.